Good evening, Mr. BX Sports Jedi Kev.
What's up, Alex Coquito and everyone from the Coquito Underground and the Sports Jedi Network. Salute, salute. Happy, happy, happy day today. Let's go. I'm ready to go, my friend. Thanks for having me.
And thank you for that. Love the intro. And everyone that's going to watch, this is subscriber-only chat. We're going to have a live replay after that. But most importantly, we are here to talk about something very special. But before anything else, new intro. Go. So welcome everyone to Loki season 2 episode 1-4 episode review, and make sure you hit that like and enjoy. So at the time, before we continue, have you seen season 1, Mr. Kev?
Yeah, I did a season okay. 1. My goodness, that was fun.
That was fun. Now, what was your overall thoughts, ups and downs of season 1? I'll tell my version as well.
You know what, I was a little confused in the beginning, like, all right, this is a time variant, where the hell are we? Of course, like everything else, you have to let it play out. It's a multiverse. It's a string of different realities, and I really liked it. Like, but we know you have to watch every, what I like about Marvel, you have to watch everything to be entwined and to up to date, not just the movies, but the TV series on Disney Plus. When I looked at, now my question when I saw season 1, Alex, was what does it have to do with Ant-Man in the quantum realm? When we see a version, a variant, or a different Quang in that world, in that movie, has to do with Loki. So that's what I had out of season 1, my questions. I don't know if you feel the same. I want to like to hear your thoughts, and then we'll elaborate from that.
Of course. I actually enjoyed season 1 because of a lot of different things that they put out there. We have to remember, Kang is not a superhero. He wasn't genetically modified. He wasn't nothing like that. He was just a smart scientist from the 31st century who understood multiversal travel, met other people like themselves, acquired technology back and forth, and thus the war started and everything else. When it connected to Ant-Man Quantumania, and then you saw that in that war that it happened, and this is after the end of season 1, ladies and gentlemen, we find out during the events of season 1 that after the multiversal war, only one person remained, who was called He Who Remained. And he explained that after the war, he had an army, he got a giant monster named Eliath, and he won the war. And he made sure that all timelines were pruned to make sure that he would survive, because not to be a greedy person, just the fact that he knew that if I didn't do this, we'd just do this all over again for all eternity, a war that never ends. And that's the scary part that they're putting out there in Loki, that now people are realizing. There has been a multiversal war. There has been a time war happening even when Loki went to New York, even before Thanos went to the Wakanda, even before Peter Quill fought Ego. All this meant nothing in the grander scheme of things. And that's the scary part about Loki. One guy, a human being from the 31st century, is more powerful than almost all of time, because he controls time. But that's my thoughts of season 1.
Okay. I like that, because I wanted to see how that coexisted with the snap. You know, we saw that a lot of people were erased from the snap, from Daniel's snap. Now with the ability of you get multiverse, or bring in different multiverse, different characters or different string line and timeline, it intrigues our thoughts, our brain, of which characters will be returning alive again that we thought were done with the snap. So this is great. This is like a, between me and you and everyone that's listening to us, this is like a reset for Marvel. If they said, oh, we made a mistake by removing XY character,
Yeah.
And within the storyline, which is kind of cool. I'm in for it. You know, as we have, you know, salute to you too. Here you go. We're going to salute. I got the mimosa. Thank I got you. The mimosa going. Let's go. Saludo yeah. to you, of course.
Shout out to Blue Moon. My girlfriend gave me her beer. So beautiful. Thank you for that, baby.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere, always.
I drank yesterday. I don't want to waste beers. That's how it is in Puerto Rico. But delving into more before we even continue in season two, we have to talk about Ant-Man Quantumania. Because, again, we saw the Council of Kangs. We saw the whole lot of them. And again, yes. And we're going to delve in more into that. That's the part that we have to remember. Once Sylvie unalived He Who Remains, all that set in motion. All the Kangs just popped out all at once. And now, because of what Ant-Man did, and again, people who don't like the Ant-Man movie up and down, that's up, Mafia Sports. Have a good day, sir. How are you doing? All the people that don't like Ant-Man movie, whatever, because of MODOK, whatever. The point of it is this, is you have to remember this, for some weird reason, happened. Kang the Conqueror, who was the worst type of Kang, they said it themselves, this guy was the worst of the worst. We had to dump him and thank you, sir, and go out to hell, is not dead. He's not. He's just hiding somewhere in a little small universe of a universe. We know that he's coming out later. That's the scary part. But now that Ant-Man and his daughter opened up this whole new crap now, we delve into season two. We delve into the fact that after, and this again, this all happens the moment Sylvie ended He Who Remains. So we had Ant-Man, Quantumania, and all these other shows happen, and in real time, and in TVA, days passed, seconds has passed. So we have to remember that. Time is different than everything else, and I love that. So we delve into season two, episode one. And I love that because of Mr. Jedi, Mr. Kev has always inspired me to do other things like that. Give me a second here. I'm almost here somewhere. Either way, let's go. I got a little intro here coming up.
Yeah, the time skipping. Love it.
So let's delve into that. Give a nice little rundown of the episode, then we'll talk about our thoughts and theories of this. Now, Loki gets kicked out from fighting Sylvie and He Who Remains. He goes and sees Mobius. Mobius doesn't know who he is. B-15 doesn't know who he is. He runs around. He sees Casey. Casey doesn't know who he is. But then he notices in that place that he's in, there's Kang statues everywhere. Then all of a sudden, he gets basically like ripped apart if it was a paper. And on a lot, and then just thrown back into the present, which we know now. And they go back and forth. He notices that his time has passed because an object showing all the time, the multiverse things fell and cracked. Years later, they never fixed it. They don't remember it, but it never fixed it. This, ladies and gentlemen, is going to tie in to episode four. We'll talk about that in when we get there. He goes back and forth. He meets X5. The counselor, General Docs, everything else explaining what has happened. Why are they not pruning timelines? Why are the timelines growing? This is all going out of control. Then Loki comes in, shows off that do the Time Lords, they takes that away, it's Kang variants. Again, this is all very important for the future. What General Docs says that the threats are real, but the analogy was not, basically. And I did love that episode because there was an old guy like this the whole time. And the first time I saw him, I'm like, is he dead? But then when Loki came up, he's like, I'm like, oh, he's alive. He's alive. He's just kind of like something like that. They go down to RNA because they have to figure out what's going on. And they meet Ouroboros or OB. Again, this person is very important for the future, what we're going to talk about in the future. He explains that time slipping is not real, while Loki is time slipping into the past and explains to Ouroboros what time slipping is. I don't know what a Thor multiplier is. Well, it goes back in time explaining it. In the end result, he explains to Loki, you have to prune yourself in order to get out and go back to the present time. You can't. Here's a clock. Here's a timer. Go. He goes, tries to do it. They do the weird, slow build in the camera where you see the telephone. If you remember, it's ringing. I'm like, just run, Loki, stop walking like a little bitch. And he almost gets to it. He sees Sylvie. Sylvie's opening up the door. He finds out as well this is the future, because during that episode, Mobius writ something in dust on top of a computer. Goes to the future. It's right there. At the point where he sees Sylvie, and Sylvie says, "There you are." And you're wondering, what do you mean, "There you are? I haven't seen you for a while." He gets pruned. Mm-hmm. We'll find out later who it is, obviously. Then, because of that, he saves Mobius, because as Mobius is trying to go to the time loom, and it explains, I love that part. If you don't do that, the whole suit's going to decay and you'll turn into spaghetti. So, you know what happens when a person goes to a black hole with spaghetti? You don't want to know. Again, we'll bring that up later. After that is happening, he comes in, he explains what's going on, and in the end of the episode, if I remember the end of the first episode, after they find out about the time loop and everything else, they realize that they have to find Sylvie. That's their goal. And General Dox gathers all her soldiers and just gets all the weapons they can, and they go out. B-15's wondering, this is not all for Sylvie, so there's something more than that. So, Mr. Kev, what was your thoughts on episode one, the recap I just said?
A lot. No, I like the way that you mentioned there, because at the moment, until we see later down the road, of course, that's why it's a series and those cliffhangers, it makes sense later down the road. At the time, you're like, what the heck? You get a little bit of confusion, but it was a confusion that makes you want, give me more. Seeing the different Lokis, and like you said, Sylvie, like, what do you, I haven't seen you in a while. And what are you talking about? You know, you pushed me out to a different timeline. And of course, him jumping back and forth and seeing that the different Kangs ready to come out. And then when he breaks the facade and shows them, look, this is what's behind this right now. It's not what you think. And they kind of explain and blow their people's mind, you know, from Morbius to, and et cetera. They're like, whoa, maybe we did have a life outside the timeline. And bringing those, this dissension and chaos. Remember, Loki's the god of mischief. And I'm not saying he's doing that purposely, but just by him exposing the truth, kind of bringing a little bit of mischief to these people's lives, which is cool, because it ties into what Loki character is. So they're not giving Loki anything outside of who he is, as if you're a comic book reader and you appreciate that on the storyline, on this series. And I'm for it, because you're like, okay, this is good cinematic and storytelling while we're watching a very entertaining program. That's why Loki 1 and 2 really, really checks all the boxes. I know some people say, well, I'm kind of confused, with all these multiverse and so forth. Give it time. Like everything else, it would explain itself. You have to give it time. You have to watch it before you jump to a conclusion. You have to have an open mind to watch Loki.
Of course. And people do like, oh, not that great. It's not the best. The first one. People doubted the first season, and it ramped up really good. They're ramping from the beginning, and now when we get to episode 4, we'll understand why. But now, since we talked about that, and I'm going to go to the next banner up, I want to bring up another episode that was kind of weird. Good reference, and I do like the references, but here we go, episode 2.
One of my favorite episodes, by the way.
Thank you. It is one of my favorite episodes. Let's break it down, ladies and gentlemen. After Loki and Mobius realize that they have to find Sylvie to understand what's going on here, and at the same time, OB is trying to open up the systems. Miss Minutes has been gone, by the way, so we don't know where she went. And they find out that one of Doc's loyalist soldiers named X5 disappeared. Went to the timeline, went to the 70s, and just disappeared. They didn't know why. So they can't find Docs either. So they said, okay, let's find X5 to find out why Docs disappeared. Because again, she took all the weapons and everything else and disappeared. So they go on the journey back to Hollywood in the 70s. And again, reference. Brad plays Bradley Zaniac. Not a Zaniac, but that's his character in the movies, a Zaniac. And I love that they bring it up. A nice little reference to Thor. That Thor did fight a guy named Zaniac. He was an actor. He took some chemicals, something happened, and he turned into a monster. Let's just leave it like that. There's so many different versions. But The same type of sliminess is portrayed in the actor playing as Brad. I'll say it like that. And I did like this episode because Loki And to say this right now, this was a branch timeline. I love that in every time they go to someplace else, it says either secret timeline or branch timeline. So he knows that Brad's like, I'm just going to jump on this branch timeline. Let's go. So we know that. That's good. Loki starts delving into more into his magic, giving a reference to the season one when old Loki says a true Loki uses magics and deception, not knives and weapons. So he does bring that up a lot. I did like that. The Brad escape happens. He does multiple. I did also like that in the scene that Brad's running away, there's a group of people, all British, hanging out. Hey, what's going on? You doing, Governor? What are you doing? All that stuff. And then he realizes after he's trying to get away, they're not really people. They're just projections that Loki's putting out there, bringing back the love of the first Avengers movie, ladies and gentlemen, which I love about that. They capture him. The shadows capture him in the background. Everything else, they bring him back to the TVA. And the part where Mobius, B-15, and Loki try to interrogate Brad. And Mobius specifically says, look, he's an asshole. Let's just be honest. He's an asshole. He knows how to get into his heads. So please understand that. All right, fine. Let's go. So the interrogation happens. He tries to break down Loki. Loki, in a moment of clarity, and I guess an epiphany, realizes what he's done and admits it. Yeah, I'm a bad person, everything else. I'm a horrible person. I did all the things in New York and all that stuff like that. And scares Brad enough to kind of him to spill the beans. But at the same time, Mobius being the one saying, look, y'all need to be cool and everything else. Mobius gets mad and calls him a small little child. You're a small little child. And about to beat his ass. Like, dude, don't stop. What's wrong with you? They find out the plan. Docs, being a loyalist and did say that the threats are real, but the plan is not, is still enacting the plans of the TVA, which is just pruning everybody without any recognition or morality. They stop or try to stop the attack. Was for naught because out of maybe 40, 50, 60,000 timelines at the end result of it. And I did love that they went before that. I digress. They did make Brad and tell them where Sylvie was. So Brad sent them to Sylvie. And we find Sylvie at McDonald's in 1982. Why? We understand why at the end of the episode one, the post-credit scene, Sylvie jumps into a random branch timeline, orders everything on the menu and just stays there. Season episode two, we see her working at McDonald's, having 5 stars, best customer ever, whatever. And the kid in the background, which people are saying that actually is Mobius in the future. I don't think so. That's, again, we'll delve into that later. They talk to Sylvie. They explain the situation. Sylvie's like, all right, fine. I don't really want to help you. I'm paraphrasing, but I'm going to help you. They go back to the TVA. They catch. They get at the time of Doc's doing the attack. They stop Docs. Mm-hmm. They stop the attack 80% of, not 80% of it, like 20% of it. Timelines are gone, erased. All those billions of people wiped from existence. And that somber moment where Sylvie said, I told you, the TVA is corrupted. And you can see that in just them standing and looking at the screen. And again, the same screen where below the screen is the crack from episode one. The crack from hundreds of years ago showing that this place is flawed. No matter, even if you try. What are your thoughts on episode two, Mr. Kevin?
First of all, episode two, like I said, is one of my favorite. Being a child of the 70s, being born in 76, I'm going to age myself. No shame in that.
That's okay.
Seeing, you know, if I put myself in that shoes. If I was Brad and I had a chance to go on the timeline, I would love to be a Hollywood's movie star in the 70s. I mean, talk about that lifestyle. Everyone, I mean, there was no social media. There was Studio 54. They were up and down. Of course, everyone talks about the booze, the alcohol, the drugs, the sex, you know, in the 70s that we hear from rumors, you know. Not that I want to jump on that anyway, but, you know, those good times, you know, good times. Where, being an adult in that 70s, I was a child. I was a baby at the 70s. And then when we jump into Sylvie with the 80s, 82, who wouldn't like to sit down at McDonald's and have a quarter pounder with cheese with the real apple pie that was fried and nice and hot, delicious, and the Happy Meals in the McDonald's? So as a child of the 70s, you remember that. It brings you nostalgia. I mean, I know that some of the young kids now won't understand that, but for an old timer, you know, not an old timer, but person that lived it, you're like, ooh, yeah, McDonald's was the shit at that time. You know, at that time there, you know, you always had those playgrounds that you know, they looked like you could get, you know, they were creepy, you could get hurt, but they were fun. So I digress with that there. And with the episode, seeing Sylvie being happy for once. That's mm-hmm. all she wanted. Other than having her, for some reason, some weird reason, they're in love with each other, Loki and female Loki with Sylvie.
Yeah.
Other than them being together, having a life with each other, loving yourself, that's where she was in a happy spot with probably 1982. Maybe some, you know, maybe that's talking to a majority of the people in their economic times with the boom and all that. That's just something nostalgic outside, you know, I digress, outside of the what's going on. But
yeah,
to bring it to the storyline with the show here, there, that's an important spot. Like you said, some people say that I might have been a Morbius as a kid, getting a Happy Meal, whatever the case was. Only time, you know, we still have many more episodes. We're only on episode 4, so we probably got like another yeah. 4 more to 5 more episodes. Yeah,
no,
2 more episodes.
That's it. That's it. Just 2 more, and that's it.
Okay, all right, all right. So I wasn't too sure if this was going to be an 8-episode explosion or 6. So it's no, a 6-episode explosion. Maybe they'll bring that storyline back. Maybe not. But we won't hang up on that. But also, one of the favorite characters that was introduced and more of a importance was Ouroboros. I really love Ouroboros' character, the way he portrayed it, how smart he is, and knowing everything about writing the timeline or being there with he remains hand in hand. You know, he's tech support. And I love that they're how they introduced him, how they brought him out to the storyline. Wait, oh wow, it does make sense. So everything is checking the boxes here in episode 2, where you have mm-hmm. again, not every and the, I love about this series is they're not giving you everything todo en un cantazo, all at one shot. They're making yeah. you work and making you keep your attention, and also you have to pay attention to every detail of the show, because if you miss something, you're going to be a little lost. It's okay to watch yeah. it again, and that's what you want with a TV show. You want a TV show to keep your pique your interest. Also, you have to must watch and pay attention to every bit of detail. Now, if if that checks the box, this is what makes Loki a great series, Alex.
It's true. And to put out 2 things I forgot to say, Ouroboros and the TVA did not get his memory wiped, because, again, Loki said in episode 1 and in episode 2 to Mobius, all you guys' memories were wiped at the same time. And Ouroboros, the last time he saw Mobius was 400 years ago in the TVA timeline. Let's say it like that, because TVA right. timeline and real timeline is very weird. I'll tell you that in a second. Above all else, episode 2 taught us that you can try to be all high and mighty, but if someone picks your buttons, you're going to get pissed. Right. And a loyalist to a cause that if you grew up in but don't know what the cause is, can spell just catastrophe more than anything else. Because, again, Doc's murdered all those timelines. And we have to remember, were those timelines the ones that the Spider-Man across the multiverse, like was that involved? Good or question. Was that – like because we'll delve into episode 3, ladies and gentlemen, right now, and we got change the background for a second. There we go. Now, this one is more importantly because we get to meet people that people jumped the gun and made some predictions they weren't supposed to make it, but I'll explain that in a second. In episode 2, they find out from episode 3 that they're locked out of the system. They need the DNA scan of He Who Remains to unlock it in order to fix the system. The loom was meant for one timeline and only one timeline. Because the loom is going through multiple timelines and is getting stringed into one, it's not meant for that. So they have to find a He Who Remains variant to open up the system to see if they can fix it. If not, the TV is going to get destroyed. Everything gets blown up. So at the same time, Miss Minutes finds Ravonna, sends her to 1863 Chicago, and says that He Who Remains had a specific plan. The specific plan was to drop off this book to that window. That's all you got to do. And then she explains to Ravonna, yeah, He Who Remains is dead. This is his contingency plan. All right. Ravonna drops it off. And you see a young candle maker, you know, young Victor Timely making candles. And he sees the book, opens it up, and it's actually the TVA guidebook made by Ouroboros. We'll put that out there very specifically. Jump 30 years, they find out after the timelines were pruned, it was ironically more easy to find Ravonna because they found her. She went to 1863. They went there. They got there a little too late because they didn't see what they were doing, so they jumped to 1893. 1863 sacred timeline, and once they jumped to 1893, branch timeline. Why? Because Ravonna messed up the timeline by dropping a book. Say that why? That the world's fair. Mobius wants Cracker Jacks, just wants to enjoy the sights, and I understand why. Loki sees a couple statues of Norse mythology, and he's like, who the hell's Baldur? Yeah, Baldur the Brave. He's like, Loki's not like, Thor's not that tall, even crapping on him. I'm like, leave him alone, man. But then they find Victor Timely, and then they also find out that there's a ghost clock roaming the streets at night, scaring people, so that's another thing. They find a sign that says temporal work, and then we get to exactly the preview clip that we saw of the post-credit scenes of Quantumania. Boom. Victor Timely walking, doing the presentation, the boom, chaos, power, and everything else. People want to buy the thing. People don't believe him. They say boy to him because obviously they can't say the N-word, which I'm glad they don't. But they say thank boy goodness. In terms of that. Then they try to explain to Mobius, Loki does, like, that's he who remains. That's one of his variants. That's the guy that we need. We need him. Ravonna tries to get with him. We find out also that he is in old terms, is called a confidence man. In new terms, it's called a con man. He's a con man. He has a great intelligence, but the devices, the technology that he has in his mind doesn't catch up with the technology that's here now in 1893. So he just makes con stuff, making pants as opposed to they make you taller. And he swindled out of a guy of $1,000 selling. And he did make the temporal loom. He was representing that and showing that. So people wanted to buy it because he said this would power the whole world, which can. Time is an energy that never stops. So after they found out that he was conning, they took the money, ran away. Ravonna found him. Ravonna was talking about his work. Miss Minutes, acting a little thirsty, just saying, you're the guy who made me. We used to play chess and everything else. They try to make a partnership. Loki and Mobius are still trying to find him. The part that I love is that during the episode, Victor Timely says, I don't do partners. Don't do it at all. That's just not me. Once Ravonna said it would be good that we become partners, he's like, nah, papi toxica. Nope. And then Miss Minutes looking at that situation and seeing that thing said, you know what? Drop you off the boat. See ya. And then putting it in his head, cizañas. Oh, yeah, he's partners. No, you don't need that crap. We move on a little bit more. Miss Minutes professes her love. You could have made me a real girl. You because like, and that was just like, yeah, that was just weird. That was beyond weird. And he turned it off. And to explain to everybody, Miss Minutes is alive in every person's temp pad in the TVA. So just because you turn off this one doesn't mean she's gone. She's just in another one. We'll put that out there. Ravonna comes back pissed off after getting jumped off a boat, has the prototype pruning gun, which will just murder you. It won't take you anywhere because I just saw dust at the bottom of it. Mm-hmm. Done. Loki and Mobius comes in. Sylvie comes in. And again, there was a big chase in the carnival, in the World's Fair. They went a Ferris wheel and everything else. I'm just paraphrasing because, again, the real purpose is this. He went back to his office to get his life's work, which, again, is a model of something that he made. And if you open it, I think that is Kang's chair, Kang the Conqueror's chair, just a model of it. And
yes.
Sylvie wanted to unend him, and he said, no, I'm not he who remains. Give me a chance to prove myself. And she does. In a moment of clarity, get him out of here. Just get him out of here. And he does. Mobius and Loki take him away. Sylvie says, let me keep Renslayer. Renslayer is like, oh, you want to have something? She punches, she butts the sword into her gut and tells her, you just want to be have a seat in the end of time. Be careful what you wish for. Opens up a time door, which, by the way, another cool thing to notice, Sylvie has He Who Remains time pad. It's a little circle thing. Looks like a pin. And that that time pad, ladies and gentlemen, can cross different dimensions and go to the end of time, the beginning of time, like nothing. So I'm going to put that out there. Kicks her ass at the end of time. Miss Minutes pops out. After Ravonna sees that there's He Who Remains, and as we see, time works differently there. He's been there for maybe, like, not there, but mummified hundreds of years, maybe even thousands of years. But for us, it's just been days. Days has passed, ladies and gentlemen, in the TVA. Not months, days. Miss Minutes tells her, there's a secret about you that he didn't want to tell you, and it's going to get you really mad. And we end the episode of episode 3 there. So what are your thoughts on episode 3, Kevin?
first and foremost, isn't that creepy that that Minutes is so in love and mm-hmm. enamorada? I mean, like mm-hmm. entregada, enchulada of the creator there. He that remains, he's in love with that. That clock is in love with that dude. I think, you know, that clock was spying on him taking a piss. And he saw what the guy was packing, and she's in love with him. I mean, yeah. Holy crap. But then to see, I thought, well, you know what I first thought? Forget about all this other stuff. When she saw him dead there like that and mummified, I say, yo, Marvel Zombies, bro. I don't know why. I hate to take away from what we're talking about, but what if Marvel Zombies? I was like, yo, I'm waiting for him to animate. Maybe I'm watching a little too much Walking Dead or whatever the case was. I was waiting for him to go and get up, and we're like, here we go. Marvel Zombies, here we go. I was like, holy crap. But no, let me get back on the boat here. Literally, when she gets kicked off the boat, and of course, when you say you have, that's why, again, I keep saying it time and time again, you have to pay attention with every detail of the show. When he says, I don't work well with partners, that tells you something there. You know, remember what Tony Stark says? I don't play well with others. And again, when I talk about Tony Stark's was, remember the World Fair. World Fair in the Marvel Universe is something humongous and important.
Yep.
You know, we saw where it possibly that was Spider-Man who got inspired in that World's Fair in Spider-Man 2. They kind of say that was Tom Holland in the Spider-Man mask or whatever the case was. Or, you know, that's what they say. You know, and maybe in that timeline that he gets inspired to be a superhero when he sees Tony Stark in Spider-Man in Iron Man 2. Also, you know, Howard Stark with the first World Fair when he had the floating car. So World's Fair has something major and value when it comes to the Marvel Universe. And then to them to see it in 1868 or 63, if I'm not mistaken, was important.
1893.
Okay, 1893. That's a very important. Now to see her go back and give him the TVA book, I would say, man, where is my variant to give me a book so I could, you know, on the mistakes and regrets that I have done in life, man. Give me that book back. Give it to my young self in 1993 or something so I could not commit the mistake and know and become a billionaire, man. I wish we could time travel that way. So it made me a little envious, you know, just in real life there. But I love this episode 3 here because now we're, you know, they're going to reveal to Ravonna a big secret, or they're going to either tell it or they're going to put the reality, you know, the reality. Yeah. You know, we all have that relative, that family member or friend, confidant, that kind of tells you things, keep it real with you. And the time clock, the missed minutes, was going to keep it real with Ravonna. And I know that's going to lead into episode 4. And I love when you keep it real to her and also to us as an audience. And I'm for it. I'm for it, Alex.
Of course. And again, I want to say on this that with Victor Timely, he has a stutter, by the way. Nothing against that. But I love that. I love the joke as well. I live in Chicago, but I also have a lab in Wisconsin for tax reasons. I'm like, and we're going to the Caribbean of the Midwest. I'm like, motherfucker, it ain't the Caribbean of the Midwest. What are you talking about, Wisconsin?
Wisconsin. And but cheese.
All right, whatever.
I mean, you love cheese and like that. But you know what I mean.
But here's the real question. We have to know that He Who Remains knew he had a contingency and there's also rumors, like theories as well, as that A Kang dropped off this version of A Kang in 1863, just in case. Again, you just can't give a book to the TVA to a random person and he become no. There's something specific about this. We'll talk about that in episode 4. But I love that Victor Timely being he is kind of a con man. He is a con man, but he's not a con man of evil. He's just trying to catch up to his mentality and his mind, because the technology that he has now is not up to what he's learned from the TVA. Because again, to learn that book and to master it, and these are quantum mechanics, time mechanics, things that, and even now in our life, we will probably never understand until maybe thousands of years in the future. And this random person in Chicago learned it in 30 years, and just a master of it tells you how much power you can truly have from reading. Shout out to Reading Rainbow. Love you. Now, before we go to the fourth episode, I want to give a little clip of another Instagram user. I like to give shout outs to people that are talking about this. I want to let him have his thoughts on this. Let it go.
I love everything about this character. I love the way he talks, the way he moves, and the way he looks. It's very Frederick Douglass. And I'm not sure how far they'll go with these two, but I am a big fan of the chemistry between Victor Timely and Ravonna Renslayer. If they do become a thing, it will probably be a toxic relationship based on distrust. And that brings us to Gugu Mbatha-Raw as Ravonna Renslayer. Her arc and her desires as a character comes kind of into full form in this episode. At first, the mission is just to bring back the TVA, bring back He Who Remains, so he can bring order and structure back into form. But as soon as Ravonna finds Victor Timely, her rhetoric kind of changes from, putting you back into power into a partnership. She wasn't always being honest with her motives until the very end. She doesn't want to manage the TVA. She wants to sit by He Who Remains' side as a shared leader. And that brings us to the theme of free will and Sylvie in the last few minutes of the episode making the choice not to kill Victor Timely because she did vow to kill any Kang variant who she came across. It's a really beautiful scene where Victor Timely appeals to Sylvie's better nature. And he tries to reassure her that the man who you fear, the man who took your life, is not.
Love it. I love it. He's playing it perfectly. You know what? He and I want to thank him, by the way, wherever he you know who he was. I want to
Yeah,
thank
I'll
him
be
for
sure
that
to.
clip. He did, you know what? He enlightened me. He does remind me of Franklin Douglas. You know what?
Perfect, Douglas.
Shout
Yes,
out,
it is.
man. I'm gonna give you your flowers, hats off, a salute with with a little mimosa.
Yeah.
That was great alliteration there. Good job
I'll
there.
give you his name. I'll give you his name after the live, and you can give a shout out. I found him on Instagram, and he embodies the thing perfectly. Ladies and gentlemen, we're on to the crazy part of the episode, episode four of season two. And as you can see in the background, it's fucking rough. Now, episode four starts off with Ravonna and Miss Minutes at the end of time. Miss Minutes scans the room and gives a nice little small TV version of what she needs to see. We find out that He Who Remains and Ravonna Renslayer, who was also back in the day a TVA warrior, he tells her, "You were instrumental in fighting and ending the war," which means they were just at the end of the war. They just finished. Eliyahf have won. All the other Kangs are destroyed. He is just now going to start the loom and then the secret timeline. We know this. He tells her that we're going to sit together always. She says that as well. She says, "Are you coming? I'll be right there." But you know when a guy says, "I'll be right there," it's something nefarious. So she leaves. Miss Minutes pops up. "Hey, you want to play some chess?" "No." "Activate Protocol 42," which means activates everyone's memories and have to be erased, plus hers. He says he's sorry, and then she sees all that. Now, knowing all that, they both conspire to say, "We don't need him. We can make our own, we can control our TVA together." We go from there. Victor Timely gets sent into the TVA. He sees all the architecture that now is him, which is kind of a shock. You know, a guy from 1893, you walk into the future or the whatever you call a future, and then you see yourself everywhere. In the tapestry, in the walls, in the statues, and now you believe everything they say. "No, we need you." He gets enamored by hot cocoa because he never heard of a hot cocoa machine. But the part that I want to talk about is Ouroboros and Victor Timely. Victor Timely and Ouroboros meet each other. "You're Ouroboros?" Like, "Oh, I'm a big fan. I love your work." And Ouroboros says, "Yes, but I got inspired by a 19th century guy from Chicago named Victor Timely," and thus the name of Ouroboros, which is a snake eating his own tail, kind of signifies him. And we'll talk about that in a second when we get to the end of the episode. I love that Ouroboros is like, "I made something to scale, but I didn't have that much time, so I'm sorry if it's not accurate." And you look at it, it's fucking perfectly accurate. And if you look at the details, even Mobius's writing is on one of the computers in the freaking diorama. It's like, holy shit. And then he's like, "Oh, I'm sorry. It's not that perfect." Like, "What are you talking about? It's fucking perfect. What's wrong with you?" They explain that they need to fix the loom. Victor Timely explains that, "I can do that with the thing that I got from Chicago, the little thing that looks like Kang's chair." As this is happening, B-15 is talking to Dox and trying to, well, before she talks to Dox, she talks to one of the commanders of the TVA and says, "Look, I like, you can't hold Dox forever. Dox is in holding with all her loyalists. You got to do something about it." She tells her, look, I don't want to hurt them. I want them to help us, like, protect the TVA. The commander says, you can do that. Well, why do you say that? Because you convinced me to believe in this new version of the TVA. So she goes to Docs and tells her, look, you have a choice, dude. Like, you can go back to your, like, you just, we want you to help. This is the new TVA. You want to protect it. We want to protect it too, but we can't go back to the way it was. Docs also says, as Brad is like, oh, fuck Docs. We're like, we don't have the numbers. We don't have the weapons. But if we just try to get out of here, we do our best. Like, dude, stop. Just stop. It's not going to work. And do you believe B-15? And I liked how her words is. I believe in B-15's integrity. That I cannot deny. Like, you don't have to believe her, but you have to believe in her integrity. And that's honor and respect right there. She's like, so she was considering it. Thus pops out Renslayer and Miss Minutes. All right, guys, anyone wants to join me? We're going to take back the TVA. And Doc says these two lines. I'm starting to believe and look at the bigger picture now. Starting to see that now. Nobody wants to join Renslayer except for Brad, because Brad wants to go back to his old life, because Brad's just fucking Brad. Brad steps aside with Renslayer. Renslayer activates the cube, which, by the way, in episode 2, Loki did the cube torture to Brad to get information. About to say that. Also, a nice little messed up fun fact, where they were, Docs and all those loyalists, there's a grate in the middle. We'll put that out there. There's a grate in the middle. Renslayer and Miss Minutes box them all up in the cube. They start smalling. Doc says the second line, it must really eat you alive to know that we would rather die than be by your side. And you can see her, she was pissed. And as you hear the screams of them getting squished like a juice box, Brad just stands there. And this is another part that I love. Brad just stands there and watches this in horror. And Ravonna doesn't call her Brad. Doesn't call him Brad. Come on, X5. Thus proving, she doesn't give a shit about you anyway. You rather should have died, but you rather just live. Just to live. Move on a little bit more. As I said, Victor Timely wants to have hot cocoa, so the guard takes him to get hot cocoa. He gives the hot cocoa to the guard. He enjoys it. He gets pruned by fucking Brad. Brad says, I'm sorry. Takes Victor Timely, takes him back to a little room. We find out as well that the blast doors, they did open the door, by the way. And they didn't open the door. Miss Minutes is hacking all the systems, and they can hack it back, but some of the security measures will be turned off, like magic, which Loki and Sylvie said, really screamingly, turn it off so they can have magic. Thus, the part that I love the most, Brad walks into the room, walking all dainty for some weird reason. I'm like, why is Brad walking all dainty? And then says to Ravonna, I thought I would never see you again. Loki sneaks in, gets Victor Timely. Brad nonchalantly, see ya. And again, ladies and gentlemen, she's not dead. She was just sent to the end of time. Now she's got to have to hoof it all the way to the freaking temple to come back again, which, again, that sucks. You murder somebody, you should stay there. But again, that's the other way. They get Victor Timely. Victor Timely does a scan. He remains. DNA gets unlocked. They open the blast doors. They see that the loom is way worse than they imagined. It's now not turning into one loom. It's 1,000 strings turning into like maybe 12 or 13, and it's just getting worse and worse and worse. And by the way, why is it getting worse? In episode 2, the timelines were pruned. In episode 3, they came back stronger than ever. So there was way more timelines. That's what I'm saying about the Spider-Verse thing and Quantumania and everything else. So they do the thing. They say, someone has to go there. Someone has to run to the center, put the third port multiplier, and then run back. Loki jokes, I'm not doing it. And then Victor Timely says, I'll do it because I'm the only one that understands it. If I have to fix it on the fly, I can't. And as I said, Victor Timely stutters. The moment before he goes, puts on his suit, he says, without stuttering, time to be brave. And he kept saying it over and over again, all the way down to the bottom, to where he got his suit on. And this is not the same suit where it was cracked with Mobius. No, it was a normal good suit. The part that you see behind us is the part that will forever be etched in my mind forever. At the same time this happened, B-15 went down to check on Docs, and they didn't show what happened, but you can see in her face the horror of what happens. Dutch, I love cinematography that way, because you have to imagine yourself. Victor Timely, at that same time as happening, she's coming back up. Victor Timely puts on the suit. Blast doors open. He's about to run out, and as you can see behind us, his whole body, from his chest outwards, turns into spaghetti. And he felt all that on the way out. And then on top of that, the spaghetti strings turn into dust. And then the dust turned into dust. And it just, he's gone from existence. Everyone stands and like, what happened? They're in shock. The loom starts exploding. You hear explosions, nuclear sounds, boom, 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 boom. And everything turns to light. And then boom. And it ends there. Kevin, your thoughts on episode 4?
What a way of ending the episode, first and foremost. You know, when I, you know what I thought of it? I don't know if you thought of it. Big Bang Theory.
Yeah.
A Marvel Big Bang Theory. Like, boom, you know, holy crap. Episode 5 and 6, are we getting a reset of the whole Marvel Universe? That's the first, I'm going to be honest with you. That's what I thought the first and foremost when I saw that. You know, we all know why I'm going that, why I say that, because the current Marvel Universe has no mutants. They, although they talked about, they tease about it, they talked about the X-Men, XYZ, and we saw that in Doc, and also with Doctor Strange and all that, with all the other different movies and so forth. That's what my, I'm just talking about my personal opinion, what I thought about when I saw that, that explosion and that Big Bang Theory there. I love the fact that then it goes, it before he goes out there, like you said, I gotta be brave. He's showing some courage. Like you when he said that, you know the word. I expected the worst. I may be honest with you. I say esto se va a joder. Esto se jodió aquí.
Yeah.
I wish I had the I have the clip, but not. But since I, you know, it's your. It's
yeah, you can't. You can't. Yeah. I get it.
So it's hilarious. Then when I saw the what was the master? I love that he was enamored with a hot cocoa machine. I said, you know what? Guess what? Yes. There's a Keurig. Wait until you find out about the Keurig machine. You're gonna be excited. Dude. Just, you know, being a joke, a clown about it. But
of course,
dude, this episode 4, I can't wait for next Thursday, bro. Can't Thursday get here any quicker? Because I want to see what happened. You know, that's what, again, a cliffhanger, perfect cliffhanger that shows us. I felt bad that the rest of the agents got killed or squished in that little, in that cube and missed minutes. What an evil little
bot. Smiling.
Yeah, que mala, man. You know what? That talk about heel. I give thumbs up to a good heel. That's talking about being a heel with that machine. You know what that remind me of? Did it remind you of the Roger Rabbit when they had the machine that got rid of
all the weasels? Yeah, with the weasels with the dip.
And the dip with the dip. Yeah. That that's Disney. Kudos to there, a little homage there, a little Easter egg to that. I was like, ooh, you know what? I like that. I'm for it. You know, maybe I'm you know, too much of a sucker or geek for these type of shows, but that was cool to see that brought there like a dip with the cube. And this episode 4 is trying to tie in things here with when it comes to Morbius, when it comes to He Who Remains, you know. When it comes to Loki, why did Sylvie, when she opened up, you know, take, you know, when Miss Minutes took over the controls or the system, and they have to reboot it, like you said, take away the magic, had to reboot it. And when something that we left out, when she says, I haven't seen you in a long time, that Loki that she see haven't seen in a long time gets pruned by another Loki.
By the future Loki, yeah.
By the future Loki. And that's when it kicks in, what we talked about earlier in this program and when we were doing the show. We didn't want to see, we were waiting for it. And now is the point. I was like, oh, now it makes sense.
Yeah.
Now it's starting to make sense. And that's what you want, Alex.
There's two things I didn't say. Thank you for bringing that up. While Miss Minutes was getting rebooted because I had to get the system back, she was going back to her base form, which was just a square with numbers on it. And she told Victor Timely, there's something I have to tell you. And then you'll never be him. So that was kind of like a spoiler there, like kind of like a premonition of what was going to happen to Victor Timely as well. And as I said, the great, all those people just like, and again, this is a form of torture that they didn't do for a while, but they did do. Also, here's the topic I want to talk about. The snake eating his own tail. The theory now is that did Ouroboros, because again, the two theories that are coming out now is that OB is actually He Who Remains. Not the one that won the war, but the one agent that survived. Because in the comics, there is a person that just lasted to the end of time. He's an old agent that saw everything, and he was he who remains. Again, OB has never lost his memory. He invented the TVA handbook. He invented everything in the TVA. So it stands to reason that maybe in the Kang War, they found him. They found him, a guy that just been here since the beginning of time in this some weird place. And he just, that also bothers me. Because again, you got, and I think this is also a plan by He Who Remains. I think, because again, Miss Minutes told him, you'll never be him. So that, I think that subconsciously Miss Minutes is still doing He Who Remains plan. Doesn't like okay. him at the time, but you're programmed to do what He Who Remains orders. And what he ordered with you to do was do the contingency plan, like it or not. So Victor Timely dying, I think, was a necessary thing that was going to happen. But I did like the fanboying that they both took away, like Ouroboros and Victor Timely exchanged books and signed each other's things. And again, that's the question. Who came first? Did Victor Timely inspire Ouroboros, or did Ouroboros inspire Victor Timely? We'll never freaking know.
Chicken or the egg theory.
Chicken or the egg, or the snake eating his own tail, as the name suggests. The part that I think it's happening, and they kind of said the preview for whatever, but I think this, and by the way, all those little explosions that were happening in the background and before like the light went flat, those were incursions. Those were different universes and different Earths clashing into each other and dying before they even got to the white light. People like putting that out specifically, like, no, those weren't explosions, those were planets. Just... He Who Remains made a loom that was a not a bridge, but a sacred timeline. The multiverse was supposed to be a bridge. It's always supposed to be a layers of bridge. Ouroboros explained, I think, in episode 4, that it's supposed to be a bridge, but what He Who Remains did was make it into one line. That's why all explosion. It wasn't supposed to be like that. It's supposed to be fractured. It's supposed to be chaotic and some planets blow up by themselves and everything else. That's the way it's supposed to be. But if it becomes that, then it becomes a multiversal war. That is what something Doc said in episode 2. The threat is real. The multiversal war and the incursions are real if they don't fix this. Now, like I said, I don't know what's going to happen in episode 5. Everyone just turned to white. Every right. single person and the TVA seemingly was destroyed. And that's the weird thing about that. So since we're already here, let's talk about Marvel theories and predictions based on episode 5 and 6. What do you think is going to happen in episode 5 and 6 in the finale?
I wish I could tell you. I'm like you. I'm puzzled. Yeah. For the first time ever, I'm animated. I don't want to see any spoilers or anyone else's theory on it. I kind of want to sit back and enjoy it, because I want to see, what's that white light? Are we getting a reset? You know, what does this have to do? You know, is it going to tie in with other storyline? What happens to not just Midgard? You know, I'm bringing it to the world, to the theory of, you know, or Asgard. Is Asgard, remember, Asgard is gone because of the Ragnarok. Is Asgard returning? You know, what's going on? What's going to implicate Thanos? You know, is he back alive? You know, he was erased from the timeline. How's that going to connect with the mutants, the universe of the mutants when it comes to Marvel? There's so many different questions with Spider-Man verse. We saw that they crossed so many different Spider-Man, you know, and I know it has not, one thing doesn't have to know that we know that they're changing actors when it comes to Spider-Man. How is that going to be introduced? Maybe this is a way of introducing that. Is Tony Stark going to be alive again in this universe? Yeah. Is Natasha Romanoff being alive here? Is the Red Skull? You know, X, Y, so many different things. Does the Black Panther doesn't exist because the actor doesn't? So there's a lot of questions when it comes to this. And I guess it's like a hard, I don't know if it's a hard or soft reset, the way you want to take it. And I would like to hear your thoughts, because I'm kind of like right now want to reserve, because I don't want to clickbait or say something. Or set up an expectation that doesn't get met. And I'm like,
Okay. I'll say it like this. I think in terms of the episode. I'm gonna start about episode five, Nama. Okay. Episode five, I think everyone got a hard reset because again, everyone got pulled from the timeline. So I think everyone just gets sent back to their original timelines. Sylvie, okay. But the thing is, that's a good point. Sylvie's timeline is pruned. It's been gone for a long time. Loki was taken out of the TVA during Avengers the first movie. Mobius apparently might be around jet skis, so he might be on jet skis. B-15 might be something else, and that's some. And then I think, like I said, this is all He Who Remains' plan. He knew that after I'm gone, if no one's gonna take care of the TVA, screw it, scorch earth. I'll burn everything, and then once this whole multiversal thing happens again, I'll just find myself back again doing the same thing again. Because he said himself, he's just going to do the same thing over and over again, which means he's probably done it more than once, but they never said that. We have to assume that's more than once. So on episode five, sure, I'm thinking that. And I think Loki just has to remember and try to get everybody back to try to fix it. Because again, we're not TVA. There has to be a TVA. Whether you like it or not, there has to be a TVA to control the flow of time because there's so many different variables. And if we don't stop the multiversal war with Kang, we're just going to keep doing this over and over and over again for all eternity. Thanos is not even a problem anymore if we focus on Kang. In terms of what's happening now, I hope this show connects to the Marvels movie that's coming out soon. I hope this show connects to What If? Because again, I know everything. It's kind of a weird spoiler. I kind of know everything's going to be okay because of the fact that we're going to get Avengers in 2 years. So we're going to have, like, this isn't the end of the world. Like, we're going to have Kang fight all these new heroes coming out. The new Hawkeye, Ms. Marvel, Captain Marvel, Polaris, all these other things. And the mutants as well. And this, as well, if I'd say, the end of episode six is apparently going to connect to the Deadpool movie as well. I said about the Avengers, but it's apparently as well going to connect to the Deadpool movie. Because apparently the theme of the Deadpool movie is going to be Deadpool kills the Marvel Universe. Mm. So it could be a point where, and I'm guessing, Deadpool gets a temp pad accidentally and just like, oh, cool, temp pad. And just does whatever the hell he wants to do, thus alerting the TVA, because I think shout out to my girlfriend. She told me about this. We're talking about theories. Is there going to be, and I can ask you this question too, is there going to be a Loki season three? And obviously that's not going to happen for the next 2 years. So will there be a Loki season three after the Avengers movies, Kevin?
I would like to say no, because I don't know what the Avenger movies are going to show us. I think this might be it, because I don't know. But if the viewership and the demand is there, anything could happen. You know, theoretically, I'm going to say no. But again, once viewership and what we want to see, maybe. Because we all want to see, I've got questions myself. What does that have to do with the Eternals? How will we, is that a different timeline with the Eternals?
True. And if Galactus is coming too, like, are you going to bring Galactus? And are like these are people that there's very few people that Kang respect and calls as equals. Thanos is not one of them. Galactus is maybe one of them, but Doctor Doom as well is a guaranteed one of them. And there's been rumors that Doctor Doom was supposed to come out, and I want Doctor Doom to come out, because if we're doing the Kang War, hey, let me talk to you. If we're doing the Kang War and we're doing the Avengers Infinity War and everything else, and you have, and if you're going to bring Spider-Man, dude, there was a great Spider-Man story called when Madam Spider was there, and then and the Beyonder was there, and then he had to go to Battle World, and they had to fight all the people. If you're really going to bring they already said they're going to make another Fantastic Four movie. Then fine, do the Beyonder. Because again, Beyonder is another variant of Kang as well. Do that. Kang's gonna win everything else, and then you go to the one person that no one wants to go to ask for help, and that's Dr. Doom. The one person that you don't want to call, but you know he'll get the job done, and then he'll get the job done. Oh, cool, I have all this infinite power. Oh, that's great. Fuck you guys. And then that's what Dr. Doom does. Whatever. But I want that to happen. I want to see Battle World. I want to see the Beyonder. I want to see Madam Web. I want to see the Secret. Exactly. That's the second movie of the Avengers. The first Avengers movie is the Kang Dynasty, the second movie of the Avengers is the Secret Wars. So that might tie in Doctor Doom. If you, I swear to God, if you watch this right now, Marvel, if you don't give me Doctor Doom, I'm gonna be pissed because it deserves it. That's my Dr. theory Mandu. On that.
Yes. Yes. Mind and creative. Oof. But yes. When they do a Galactus, they got to really be something like, holy crap. Don't give me that corny Galactus that's just going to, you know, like
don't give me Lawrence Fishburne again talking with the board. I don't need his ass anymore. I'm good, man.
Oh, my planet.
No, I don't need that shit, bro.
No. Okay. I can't wait again, for the Doctor Doom movie. Yes.
Yeah. Even Let Me Talk to You says it. And again, this is, I'm not even talking about 1997 X-Men. I'm not even talking about What If Zombies and What If the season two. Because again, What If season series two, they spoiled the episode names. Not all of them. There's 10. So they spoiled about 8 of them. Mm-hmm. And Supreme Doctor Strange is the second to last episode. It just says, you know, whatever. So that means there's another multiversal threat that might not even be Kang. It might be just something else. And hell, they can bring back Ultron versus fucking Black, not this guy, Killmonger, because they're still, no, I'm sorry, MODOK and Killmonger, they're still stuck in an eternal battle looking for the stones. Stones that, ladies and gentlemen, mean nothing in terms of time.
Nothing. Even the time stone means nothing, because we saw that in season one. There was a whole drawer full of time of Infinity Stones. That meant nothing.
I
got a whole bunch of these.
Yeah, and that's the scary part. A guy that's a human named Kang the Conqueror, Kang, whatever he wants to call him, uses time, not the stone, but time itself and technology that he invented in the 31st century to conquer all of time. Again, I'm waiting for the Council of Kangs. I'm wait because, ladies and gentlemen, heroes are gonna die. This is not a if. This is a matter of. This is a lot of people that you're watching right now. The Marvels, Hawkeye, all they're gonna die, and they're gonna get revived back again in Secret Wars. That's just the way it is. So expect the sadness and the crying, because that's just going to happen. And I'm for it, because you have a chance, Marvel, to do something that in the 90s in crappy Spider-Man television worked perfectly.
Perfect. You're right.
Remember, 90s is like they use the same Spider-Man frame going from back to forth. And then sometimes they would, I actually saw the documentary. They were cheap asses and they made millions off that show. Millions. But really, final thoughts on Loki as a whole, Mr. Kevin, before we finish off.
Yo, this show was phenomenal. Episode 1 and 2. If you know, I understand that the week to week kind of gives you a kick in the nuts. Yeah. If you want to binge watch it, it'd be phenomenal. You know, you take a long weekend and you watch, you know, season one and then season two. You're gonna be hooked, line and sinker. You're gonna love it. It's just what it just. Continues to keep your interest evolved and makes you want to think like we're doing right now of thinking. And not only that, expanding our mind on a multiverse of so many different theories or possibilities where Marvel could go, which is that's what you want with a show. You know, before they used to call them the 90s water cooler talk. This is now you could say podcasting talk, because now we're making podcasting and we could go on for another hour and a half of just different theories about it. And when a show does that, that's telling me it's checking the boxes, hitting and crossing the I's, dotting the T's, and that's what you want. And I am excited for it. Thor, Hawkeye, Black Panther, Siri, Captain Marvel will die in phase 5 and 6, but they'll be, again, with the Secret Wars, they might be back alive again. Now, you talk about Doctor, I wanted to talk real quick before, Doctor Doom is the mind that you thought could get us there. We're talking about a mind that is dead now, but might be revived, and it's Tony Stark. That guy is the mind.
True.
He, remember, if you remember watching Avengers Mightiest Heroes, he was the mind that actually defeated Kang in the future. So I don't know if they'll bring it back to this kind of cinematic universe.
I think they will. I think they will, because it makes sense to bring back all the old actors. You can bring back Black Widow, Captain America. You can bring back Iron Man just for cameos. Because again, if you're going to different universes, you can go different. Like, because they were saying there might be a Tom Cruise, evil Tony Stark. There might be, because again, you can even delve into the Darkhold, where there's a Tony Stark that's all just all goo and robot. You can delve into the to cosmic Iron Man. You can go to Scar, because again, the episode of What If that didn't come out in the first season is coming out in the second season, where what if Tony Stark got stranded in Scar instead of Hulk. So we see all these different things going out. But I liked how let me talk to you said it perfectly. All those people are gonna die. Black Panther, sure, everyone's is gonna die. And no, that's the thing though. That's the thing. Let me talk to you. Dr. Doom don't work with nobody. He never works with. He'll work with you to get his own ends. But Dr. Doom wants power. He doesn't share power. He's the king of Latveria. He's not the prime minister or the Democrat. He's the king. So, and again, Dr. Doom is adept in magic, cosmic, time, mm-hmm. mutant abilities. Fine. His whole suit is freaking magicked up. Same level as Doctor Strange. Why would you want to team with a time guy when you could just take his power and do it yourself anyway? That's it. That's what I think. That's my opinion on that. If they do team up, it's just a team up of acquaintance. I need you. You need me. We need to do this together. That's it. Hell, Doctor Doom, again, depending on who the actor is for Reed Richards, you can really set it up that Doctor Doom portrays him just to piss off Reed Richards. Because he hates Reed Richards a lot. No, yeah, that's what I mean. He is using his own interest. But again, Dr. Doom is never meant to be a team player. He never is. He never will be. That's why I think Kang, once he confronts Dr. Doom, if he gets to that point, or the Fantastic Four or the Avengers, we need someone, a wild card, and we know one person that is a wild card, and it's Dr. Doom. That's how the Beyonders. But ladies and gentlemen, that was Loki season two, episode one to four. We will talk about, if God permits, episode five and six when it comes out. All right. I love this. I love talking about this. And if anyone likes Quantum Leap, put down the thumbs up in the chat. I'm watching Quantum Leap season two. It made me cry. It made me angry. And I'm pissed. But I love it. If you don't like it, go watch Sam in the 80s. He's a whole bunch of shows about that, honestly. Kevin? Final thoughts, and please share your socials with the world.
Absolutely. Please. Well, first and foremost, thank you for joining us. Thank you for hitting that like button. Thank you for being part of the program here as we taking our multiverse of YouTube channels and streaming them together here on the Coquito Underground, Puerto Rican React, and the Sports Jedi Network, bringing you this wonderful program of reviewing not just Marvel programming and Disney Plus. Hopefully we get some DC programs, something good with either the animated or movies to talk about, and all different Star Wars programs. So this is the first of many more of these collaborations. You can find us at Sports Jedi Network. You know that we do all the different watch-alongs. Now we're expanding now into wrestling, Marvel, and so forth. And I'm great to share this platform with Coquito Underground here and with Alex. We'll make sure we hit those likes and subscribe. And of course, if you have that financial, we always could use that donation, that financial help to help us get better, equipment. We really appreciate it. We thank you guys. We thank you for giving us this opportunity on Saturdays to entertain you. And we will continue to try to always strive better for excellence here on this program. And again, my final thoughts, may the sports be with you. And let's continue enjoying Marvels and all the comics. I can't wait to when we talk about Gen V. Yo, that show is on fire, bro. I can't wait when we do that, when we do The Boys, when we do DC. I'm excited for all the stuff that we have in our future. Alex, take it away, brother.
Of course. You can find me in all the links of BX Sports Jedi Kevin down below, Linktree and his YouTube. Go down below and check it out. All in the description. If you want to donate, Patreon. If you want to donate, all that stuff's down below. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about that. If you love Marvel, if you love Loki, if you love this new series of content coming out that makes you smile and cry and gasp, please like, subscribe, and enjoy the content that we give you. More than anything else, Recon Reactions, BX Sports Jedi and Kev and Network is about learning, loving, and helping others grow. Again, I'm my second time doing this on the road to 1,000 once again. But I love doing it from scratch again because it helps me learn humility. Stay healthy. Stay happy. We'll tell you when it happens next time. And remember this. Always love the ones you love. Always hug the one you hug. The moon's coming out on the 29th. There's a lunar eclipse. Go out and see the moon. And remember, en el colmado, si la malta no está fría, ¡pal carajo! Adiós.